Today we're looking at Psalm 95, or 96 actually. We're going to be 95, but there's actually a whole suite of psalms that talk about praise. If you start looking through the book of Psalms, that you'll be thinking, Benji, we haven't talked about a psalm that keeps being mentioned all the time, a psalm of praise. Praise the Lord, all the way through the book of Psalms. In fact, Psalm 95 starts off, it's actually a little bit earlier than that. This whole fourth book, so the Psalms are actually broken into a number of books. And book number four, it starts with these psalms of praise. 95 to 99 are all books of praise. And the last lot of psalms, if you turn to the end of the book of Psalms, you'll see a whole lot of praise psalms as well. Hallelujah is mentioned. Hallelujah, what does hallelujah mean? Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. And hallel is praise. So praise the Lord. So why are we doing this? That's what we've been called to all the time. That's what we're going to explore a bit more this morning. Let me say a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the way that you have led the service, the way that you have been here and you're present amongst each one of us. Lord, let us hear your voice this morning. Just like those orbies that are absorbing that water and expanding, help us to absorb your word, absorb your spirit, absorb the living water, Jesus Christ. And let Christian joy well up within us. Amen. So, we've done this series, and this is the last one, God's Broad Shoulders. And this is based on a passage from 1 Peter that says, cast all your cares on him, on Jesus, because he cares for you. Jesus also said, come to me, all those who are heavy laden, who are weary, and you will find rest. Rest for your souls. So it's this idea that we can actually wrestle with God with our strongest and our deepest emotions. And God's okay with that. In fact, he wants us to wrestle with it. In fact, the word Israel, where we get the word Israelites from, means to wrestle. It's part of what the Christian life is, to wrestle with God. It's far better to wrestle with your doubts and your fears and all those sorts of things with God than without God. So let's make sure we do that. Now, we've done a whole lot of different sorts of emotions, mostly kind of negative ones, haven't they? Fear and sadness, those sorts of things. Now we get to the positive, the joy emotion. And as you see this in both Psalm 95 and 96, you see these words that are mentioned. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Or it says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms and praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all kings. Can I have that first slide there? There we go, sorry. So, Psalm 95, sing praise to the Lord and sing for joy. And these are some kids opening up their gifts from the smatterer's purse. And kids exude joy, don't they? They have this way of being contagious with their joy. But there's this sense all the way through that we're supposed to sing. Now, for some of us in Australian culture today, we generally don't like singing too much. I was always interested when I went to England and I went to English soccer. They sing about everything, don't they? The English sing about everything. If they're in the soccer, there was someone who just slipped up on the line on the side as they were playing soccer or football, if you're in England, and he fell over. And they've even got a song about that. They started singing, he fell over, he fell over. That's just what they do. They sing songs. Whereas in Australia, the best we've got is Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. And after you've done that once or twice, it's like, oh, do we have anything else? Aussie Matilda, we start to forget the words after a while. Maybe we can sing the national anthem, but no one really knows the second verse anyway. We struggle with it. But you get through this book, which means to sing, actually, Psalms, and it's got this constant sense of singing to the Lord, praises to his name. We have this heavenly vision that you get in Revelation. And what's it give you? It gives you a big, massive choir. And these are some choirs here that they, if you've ever gone to so some of the Pacific Islands, they love to sing and they sing with joy and have massive choirs. I remember going to a rugby match there in Samoa, and I think the Fijians were playing the Samoans, and the Fijians, they got together and they sung a hymn before it started, and it just filled up the whole stadium. It was wonderful to hear. They have this sense of singing for joy. And sadly in Australia, we don't have that as much. Especially if you're a male in Australia, you kind of don't get a sense that the singing is a guy thing to do. But it's, God has built us to sing. When we sing, it lifts up the words, doesn't it? It brightens them. It gives kind of music to them. That's kind of literal, isn't it, there? It elevates them to beauty, to wonder, to holiness, to the divine. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. Or how about this one? Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, O ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. The angels are singing, aren't they? They're singing praise to the Lord. That's what happened when Jesus was born. The whole sky was alight with a choir. To sing praise to God lifts the words. Psalm 96 goes on like many psalms. All creation shouts your praise, it says. The trees clap their hands. God is great. It's kind of a weird thing to say, isn't it? That the trees are clapping their hands. They don't really have hands. They've got limbs, but there's no hands attached to it. They've got leaves. So it's a bit of an odd image of these trees clapping their hands. But it gives you the sense that all of creation, it is there from the start to the end, just giving praise to God in joyful wonder. That's what this psalm is saying. All creation gives you praise. You alone are truly great. You alone, who God, who reigns for eternity. God is great. And his praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and your name will be praised through all the world. That's what it's saying. That's what we sing about. That's straight out of the Psalms, saying all creation is giving you praise. I don't know if you've heard about the peacock spider, the Australian peacock spider. Some of you have. Some of you may not have. 2005 was when someone actually started to take photos of these things. They're only 5 millimeters long or wide, both male and female about the same size. It's kind of like a jumping type spider. So a guy, Otto Jürgen, was walking around Sydney, some of the places around Sydney, and he started to look at them for the first time. Maybe people had looked at them before that, but a few years later, 2008, he started actually taking photos and was one of the first people to notice what they do when they're having their mating kind of ritual. And I've got some videos of it, and there's a reason why I'm showing you this. All creation shouts your praise. Can we have that going? And there is some sound to this one too. Aren't they amazing creatures? Only 5 millimeters long. And that's what we can do with our modern cameras to see these things. The reason why I'm showing that, not just because I think they're really cool and they look amazing and they brighten up our day to see them, is these are declaring the glory of God. All creation is shouting God's praise. And it's been doing it for thousands of years, but no one really has noticed before. Yes, they're kind of doing a mating ritual. Yes, that's part of it. But I think from this psalm, we're saying all creation declares the glory of God. The trees are clapping their hands, and those little spiders are doing that funky little dance and bringing this joy into the world. And they're doing it just because that's how they're built, but they praise God in their dance. And I think God is calling us to be a bit like that jumping spider, a bit like that peacock spider. So, why joy? Why praise God? Well, the answer is found in the rest of the psalm. And if you look at it, it's got things like, he saves, great is the Lord, he's be feared above all gods. Now, that's God with a little g, and that was the times where they were surrounded by nations that had all these other gods. And he's saying, look, don't worry about them. They are just idols. They're nothing. Fear the one Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Give him honor and majesty, strength and beauty. The Lord reigns. And that's probably the one thing that I want to draw out here is the sovereignty of God. God is king above all kings. And this is what brings us joy and what brings us a hope as well. It means that If we trust in God and we have faith that God is actually the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, then when it comes to the things that worry us an awful lot, and we just have to go, God's sovereign, God's got it in control, I don't understand it, it's way too big for me, but I'm just going to keep trusting in God. Keep trusting that God is reigning here. I remember before I became a Christian, I was gripped by fear of the world. And I think I've mentioned it already a little bit beforehand. I was brought up in the 80s and 90s. And as I said once, I remember the AIDS ads where they had the Grim Reaper and he would bowl these Tempin bowling balls. And there'd be these kids and adults and things at the end and they'd topple over. And I was thinking the world was going to come to the end. I'd watch the news and I'd see smoke being put up in the sky and the glaciers melting and a whole lot of other things happening that just made me think that the world is going to be a horrible cesspool of a place. And then I also saw these kids with these big stomachs. Do you remember that? And there was Band-Aid or Live Aid where they talked about these kids that were starving in places I'd never heard of before. There was this strong sense that you as a kid can change the world and it's your responsibility. I remember feeling that as a teenager. This is your responsibility. You're the next generation. Make sure you fix it. And I was overwhelmed by kind of a fear or a sense of what was going to happen and my responsibility in there. Then I found Jesus and I was not gripped by fear anymore because I could go, Lord, I don't understand it, and I know that I'm responsible for some of that, and I can contribute to that, but I also know that you're God and you're sovereign, and that gave me a bit more peace. I could rest a bit easier. I didn't have to feel the weight of the world on my shoulders as a young person growing up in the 90s. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. I know that doesn't solve all the world's problems, but I know that, look, there's someone far intelligent, more smarter than me, that is looking after this place. And animals have it under control. I don't get, but I know that God loves me, and I know that God has got a wonderful plan for us. And I'm going to trust in that. And I could change this fear and this anxiety about the world and be filled, starting to be filled with joy for the world. To praise God and to see things a bit more in a happier light, a bit like that jumping spider, that peacock spider. C.S. Lewis says this, I don't know if you can read it back there, we are half-hearted creatures, falling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. I think when it comes to joy, and this is in some ways what this psalm is talking about, all these psalms are praising God with joy, we look for it in the wrong places. If I want us to remember anything, it's to unwrap internal joy from an external, eternal source. Unwrap internal joy from an external, eternal source. I think we try to find sometimes external joy, and it's never kind of inside us. It's just happiness that comes and goes. Internal joy is something that stays with us even though the circumstances around us are saying, do not be happy, but you go, no, I've got a joy inside me that's just going to come out. But we can't find this internal joy from an internal source. I think sometimes when we read the self-help kind of books, it's like it's all within you. You can just do it. Just you've got it within you. And that's okay for a certain amount of time, but it's kind of like a battery that runs out eventually, especially if the world around you is using it up so quickly. And yes, you can plug it in and recharge it again, maybe. But eventually, sometimes those iPhones, that they get to a certain point where you can't recharge them again. And what do you do when the battery goes? What if you take it into the shop? My battery's gone. It's not charging anymore. What do they say? Go get a new phone. Well, you can't get a new life, can you? You need to find that joy from an external source. So we try and find joy from an external source, and it might be things like relationships. It might be from our careers, or it might be from celebrities or following football, whatever it is. But they let you down. You know, as a kid, I loved Rolf Harris, and as a 20-year-old, 30-year-old riding bikes, I loved Lance Armstrong. And then on the same week, in 1 year, I found out that Rolf Harris was being accused as a child molester, and then Lance Armstrong had lied and taken drugs to get all his wins. And if I had built my joy around celebrities, my life would have crumbled then. But thankfully, my joy is based on an external and eternal source. It won't run out. It is there for eternity, and that is the Lord. The joy of the Lord be your strength. The joy of the Lord be your strength. And so let me finish. I hope that you are finding joy in the Lord, in that external, eternal source, a joy that fills up your heart. And I pray that we too can be like the psalmist. Sing a new song to the Lord. Be part of the whole earth that sings to the Lord, including those little spiders. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Every day proclaim the good news that Jesus saves. Amen.